Just gonna see everyone out. Always a blessing and encouragement to be able to gather together as we have the opportunity to do so, to open up our Bibles and study the Word of God, and to edify and encourage, build up one another. We want to say Happy Father's Day to all fathers that are here this morning, and hope that you have a good day. And I failed to mention that I did put out a bulletin this morning. It's on the table. If you can grab one on the way in, you can grab one on the way out. What I had actually done was, when this virus and everything had started up, I had started typing up a couple articles, you might call them blogs, on our church website. And so I just I know there are some that don't use the internet a whole lot and don't get on Facebook where we share it. And so if you wasn't able to do that, or if you just like a hard copy of them, I had posted just a few of the articles that I have written already on it. And I talked to a couple, but that's maybe a way that I start going about with the bulletins is the articles I type up on the internet and on the website, and then just post them on some Facebook bulletins. So, but you can grab one of those, or if you like it, and you do the internet, then you can go forth and share that on Facebook also. So, if you want to open up your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to be spending the time this morning throughout the lesson and talking about the prodigal son. But what I want to talk about this morning is the father of the prodigal son. I want to go through these verses and look to the father and the example that he sets here, the lessons we can learn from the father's actions throughout these verses. And of course, we can look at it to the point as we talk about Father's Day today. And our application and how we can use it, and also in mindset of how it relates to, of course, our Father up above, our God who takes care of us at all times. So if you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to be reading through little sections of this and making points as we go through the sections, and then and that'll be the lesson for this morning. So starting there in verse 11. And we'll be reading through verses 16 here. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. It says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there, arose a severe famine in the land. And he began to want, being want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with pods that swine ate, and no one gave him. So most of the time we go through this lesson, we focus on the prodigal son. But what I want to focus on is the father in today's lesson. And so in these few verses here, there's a short point that we brought out. There's little that's brought out about the father in these verses. Other than we bring out that the younger son did approach his father. And it brings out here, he divided to them his livelihood. He went ahead as the younger son had approached him and asked for this possession, which we could get caught up in the attitude of the son here. We could get up and talk about why would he go forth and why the father would go ahead and give this over to him. I think a good point can be brought out. And the point that we look at our Father up in heaven is that he is our creator. And he has blessed us with life upon this earth. And he could have created us any way that he desired to create us. And he could have made it where we don't have decisions of our own, where we don't have the free will that we have to decide to do right and wrong. And he could force us to stay in the correct path and not allow us to be able to go forth and go out and err the wrong way. And yet, as we look at this example, as we read about the prodigal son, we look at the father, And I know there's not a lot written in here, but as we get to towards the end of the lesson, the end of the story here, we read about the older son, the elder son, and the father talking to him. And what I read from it, and I know there's some things that we might assume more than what we have there in book, chapter, and verse, and actually say, well, this is what, because it is a parable as we look at this. But it seems that the father taught their children. The father was a good worker. The father was able to build up a certain amount of wealth. He had servants, as we're going to talk about. And he raised them, and you see how the older son acts, and you see how the younger son acts. And as they get old enough to make their own decisions, he's not able to fully justify. I fully believe from what I see in this parable that the father would have talked to his son and tried to keep him from going out and through the wrong ways. But when it came down to it, it was the son's decision to make. And then he did not hold him back. We have to understand that God gives us that freedom. Just as we raise our children and we raise them the best we can, when they come to that age, they will leave our house. And then they will be on their own. And we have to make sure that we're prepared for this moment. That we have prepared them for this moment. That we prepare our children to be ready to make the right decisions as they head out. Because as we look at the prodigal son here, he did not make the right decisions. He decided to leave out. Because as the younger son, and we look at laws under the old times and the time frame here, the older son got most of the possessions. The younger son got a little bit of whatever he was given here, enough to go out and enjoy life. To go and live wildly and spread his wild oats and to do as he pleased. And then he spent it all. When a famine came, he was not prepared. He did not take the teachings and examples that his father had set. You will read with me the next portion of these verses, starting in verse 17. Verse 17, and reading throughout verse 21, it says, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" There's a few points I want to bring out throughout these verses. First being, as the young man had come to his understanding, felt how low the life he has because the lifestyle that he was living. That he was feeding swine and was ready to eat the food that was given to him. That he had no friends because the friends were only there because he had money at the time. But he sits back and he thinks and reflects about his father. Once again, the example that his father has set, the man that his father was, because he was kind, he was good, he was more than equal, it seems like, to his servants, because he recalls his servants here. He says, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare?" Because as we see, as he even works under this man, he's obviously not getting a lot of food or a lot of money to go and buy food himself because he's still hungry enough to eat the food that the swine was eating. So he sits back and thinks, my father is a good master. He's a good father. He has done so much and he provides for his servants. He gives them food. He provides and makes sure they have housing. And he gives them more than enough. More than enough to spare, I'd be able to get food just from the servants. And so once again, we look at the example that the father had set. And again, this is a reminder to us in many ways, because as we sit back and we think, as children get older, as they move out, as they're at that age, and if they,
question the decisions they have made, we sometimes will sit back and reflect, what have I done? What did I not teach my children? What did I not show them in the right direction? What did I let them get away with? Why are they acting this way? And from the examples that I read, that I see, and try to understand this parable, it seems like this father set an example. The older son didn't go off and do these wild things. And it seemed like he was a good enough man to give good wages to his servants and pay them nicely and make sure that they were fed and clothed and taken care of. So much that his son was willing to come back and just be a hired servant, to work for these lowly wages that son might consider. So the father set that example. He set a good example in his kindness and showing equalness and being a good master. And I believe once again, and the hard work ethics to be able to be in this high enough position. Another parts that we can bring out in these verses, he says, I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Again, the things that I see that the father had taught this young man is he did teach him about heaven. He did teach him about God, because he didn't come back and say, Father, I've done you wrong. I've done you wrong. I did not show you honor or respect. I just took what I thought I deserved, and I left, and I went out on my own. But he says, I've sinned against you and heaven. Because we have to remember that when we do one another wrong, and we sin, whether it's against your spouse, against your children, if it's against your neighbor, against your enemy, we not only sin against them, but we sin against God. And the young man has come to that knowledge. He's understood that he has done wrong. That he was not going the way that he was raised. He was not following the commands of the Lord. He was not keeping the law. He was going out and living a life focused on worldly possessions. Focused on popularity. And so as he comes to understand where he is in life, he says, I've sinned. I've done wrong. I need forgiveness. I need to go to my Father and ask for His forgiveness. I need to ask forgiveness from our Father up above, our God. Things that we should be teaching to our children. We know we can go to Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4 where it tells us that fathers are not to bring up their children in wrath, but in the training and admonition of the Lord. That we teach them these things. That we look to the old law as Moses had given it, and he told them to make sure you teach your children when they lay down and when they rise up. And write it on the fence, write it on the doorstep, make sure it's there so that I always see it and they always know. That they were to leave those stones as they crossed the Jordan River so that when they passed by those stones, the children said, what are those for? So you can teach them. You can tell them how God delivered you out of Egypt. How God has given you this land. It's the same thing today. Why do you go to church? Why do we go to church every Sunday, Dad? Why do we do this? Because God sacrificed His Son. Why do you take the Lord's Supper? To remember that sacrifice. Why do we sing hymns? To worship Him. To help one another. To encourage each other to remain faithful. We teach these things to our children. Another part that we see in these verses. As the son comes home, he arose and came to his father. And when it says, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Again, I don't want to add to the Word of God here. But it seems like since his son has fallen away and left his house and has been gone, it seems like years is what the older son says later on in these verses. It seems like he might roam those front porch, the front yard every now and then, just looking out down the driveway and waiting to see if his son or whatever was coming. He could have been out there just working and just came by and saw and noticed who it was. But saw his son has returned. He did not stand there and give him the stink eye. He did not stand there and throw it all in his face, telling, I raised you better. I taught you to do more than this. I set a better example for you. I don't know what you was thinking. Instead, he had compassion. And he was so excited. He ran. He didn't just wait for him to come all the way to an end and fall on his knees and beg and plead for forgiveness. But he ran to him. So excited that his son fell and kissed him. He was so excited. We should have compassion as our children come to the knowledge of their mistakes. Of course, remembering that as we were young, we've made mistakes in our lives too. And as we continue to live life, the mistakes that we make from time to time. This is the example this father has shown. Again, he brings out these words, and the son tells him, I've sinned against you. The next part we read here is starting in verse 22. In verse 22 it says, but the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe, put it on, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Verses 22 through 24, there's a great amount there of what the father had done for his son. The reaction, again, of the rejoicing that his son is still alive. The rejoicing that his son has come back. I sit here and read these verses, and as we can apply it to our Father up above, to those who have yet to obey the gospel, to those who have fallen into sin, and need repentance. This is our God right here. Our God is looking down at you with compassion. Looking down at you with love. Probably with sorrow in his heart that you have yet to ask for forgiveness of your sins. Waiting to see you come to him. And if you come to him, if you're willing to step up and confess your faith in Christ and to ask for forgiveness, to be baptized and have your sins washed away, this is what he wants to do for you. He wants to run out to you and to receive you. He wants to rejoice with the angels up in heaven, because that's what you see here, is that the father sees his son, he gathers him and he says, this is my son. And he has come back. He was dead and now is alive. He was lost, but now is found. Get the robes out. Put the sandals on. Give him one of those rings that shows that he's a family member of this family. That he is my son. And when we obey the gospel of God, when you get baptized into Christ, you become joint heirs with Christ. Meaning you receive the inheritance that he has promised in heaven. You're a child of God. Receiving that spirit of adoption. He's so ready to receive you in. And to rejoice. Not to sit there and look at your faults of your past. And to sit there and blame you for them all. But he's ready to strengthen you. Ready to help you. Ready to guide you in the right direction if you were only willing to come to him. That's the thing again. He's not forcing. He's not forcing the prodigal son here. He's not forcing the son here to come to him. To receive forgiveness. To live a better life. But oh, he's so desirous. He wishes you more. In verse 28, the last part that we read was reading about the older son. So in verse 28, it brings out, he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years, I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf." So the father speaks to his son and said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." So as the father notices his son, his older son, has not come in to rejoice that his brother has come back, we see that he goes out and pleads with the older son. That he doesn't just let it pass by. He doesn't just let it stand there and ignores the situation. He goes out and he pleads. Once again, the heart of the father here, the compassion that he shows, and wanting to help, and wanting to strengthen, and trying to show the right path that we should be on. Don't let the jealousy take place of us. Don't let our anger of your brother, because he left you, left us, left the family business here, and don't let that anger overtake you. But rather, it is good that we do. He was dead to us because we didn't know. He was lost and now he is found. He is alive. And he has come back home. Father pleaded with his elder son also. And that helps me with the mindset that, even though it's not written in here, it's just a parable. A father like this, I believe, would have had a talk with the younger son before he left. But he also probably knew his younger son, knew the attitude, knew what he was going to do with that Bible that he had asked for. When it came down to it, he had to let him make his own decisions. Father pleads with his sons. The father tries to lead them in the right direction, shows them by example how they should act. And he is just and fair with them both. As he brings out here in the end of this lesson, "You're always with me." He gives his oldest son still his dues. He doesn't plan on re-splitting up. He's already given the livelihood to the youngest. Everything else that is left for the older son. He's still showing equality. He's still not showing any partiality. But he also makes the point that it was right that they be married and glad. This kind of father we have up in heaven, this is a good example for us dads today. And we set the example, we teach it, we do our best. When they're at home, and even as they get older, and when they need help, and we're there for them to help them. We're there to show the example and be there for them. Just a few points to bring out to finish up the lesson this morning. He set the example. He taught him. He was a kind person. He was good to his servants. He paid them nicely wages. He had love. He had compassion. He showed mercy. Was willing to forgive. And as we consider the fact that maybe he was just walking that front porch or out there looking out to see when his son would return, he continued in hope. He didn't lose hope that one day, his son would return. Just as the Father up above, each day that he has blessed us is the day in his patience, his long-suffering, hoping that you will ask for forgiveness of sins, hoping that you will come forward and be baptized and have those sins washed away. We don't lose hope for our young ones. And when we rejoice. And we show that we are truly happy when they do what is right. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you've yet to obey the gospel, we want to encourage you to do that, to become a child of God. Because again, if you have not asked Him for your forgiveness, if you have not been baptized to wash away your sins, I'm telling you now, God is looking at you with sorrow and with love, wanting you to do so, waiting for you to make that decision. And He is ready to receive you. And He will rejoice, we will rejoice, the angels will rejoice. And He'll be there to strengthen you to overcome the temptation that you face from day to day. If you're here and you need to praise your congregation, if there's anything we can do, please let us know.
There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Love the